Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com. 97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Welcome back. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Hour number two kicking off right here. And happy to have you along with us on New Year's Eve. You know, tomorrow, there's so many people that, you know, they got to be doing something. And as I mentioned yesterday, that used to be me. I used to be the guy who had to be out, had to do something. But now just looking forward to testing my grill and making sure that works. And just, you know, enjoying some time with the fam. And then watching the Miami-Ohio State playoff game, which will kick off at 7:30 tomorrow. So that's my New Year's Eve. And then my New Year's Day, colonoscopy prep and more college football playoffs. So I can't complain. It's going to be a heck of a New Year's. I can't drink on New Year's Eve. So that kind of plays into it as well, right? I can't have any alcohol because, again, I am prepping for my colonoscopy. So once that ball drops, I can't eat for 36 plus hours because I have a 12:30 colonoscopy on January 2nd. How nice of Odyssey to make that a company holiday this year, huh? That really worked out well for me. So that is my way of bringing in 2026. And like I said, I couldn't be looking more forward to the college football aspect of it. And again, testing my grill. It's funny. So yesterday I mentioned that, and you guys said, "Hey, TMI. I did a 2-hour show in Buffalo on people just calling in with colonoscopy prep advice. That was 2 hours of radio.
You know, Joe, it's Fred Bottomer here. 37. You're 37 years old.
Yes. Right?
Okay. Aren't you a little young to start the colonoscopy stretch there?
So it runs in the family. I was actually
supposed to get
This is supposed to be my second. I was supposed to get my first at 30, but you know, when you're 20, you're kind of ignoring the doctor, and you know, I didn't really start going to the doctor regularly again until 35, and my doctor said, "I can't believe you haven't, you know, done this." So we finally got it on the calendar. But yeah, this is, I'm telling you, the only time I've ever been knocked out was a concussion in lacrosse when I was in high school. So like, this is a lot of firsts for me to bring in the new year.
Well, it's very good of you to stay on top of it. I think that's excellent that you're getting tested so early. I think that's great. And secondly, having gone through it, you know, it's just really good sleep. That's what I can tell you.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I could use some really good sleep. Now, yesterday, the Sabres were in town to play the Blues. We talked about it with Frank.
Yeah, that didn't turn out too well for the Blues.
It didn't, but you know what? Early on, I was thinking the Sabres were, you know, the streak was going to be over because eventually they're going to have to lose a game. I was flipping back and forth between the Sabres and the Blues broadcast because I wanted to be able to comment on it here from the Blues perspective. I mean, the Blues are still in a good position. I mean, the West is kind of a mess right now. So, I mean, the Blues still, it's still positive things going into 26 for the St. Louis Blues, right?
Yeah, you're right. There's still the playoff shot. Go ahead, Ethan.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's pretty messy right now for the Blues, but there's a lot of hockey to be played. That's the good news is that there's, you know, are we halfway yet? We're right at the halfway point if we haven't hit it yet. Game 41. Okay, so we're literally right there. You know, you'll have the long Olympic break. So I wouldn't necessarily say that things are great in St. Louis right now. They got a lot of things to figure out, but they are slowly getting a bit more healthy, which is good. They've been extremely banged up in the last couple of months. But we'll see what happens. But, you know, I think that people in St. Louis are perhaps a little bit spoiled by what happened last year and just that epic run to squeeze into the wild card, the 11-game win streak. The Blues are not going to be able to rely on an 11-game win streak if they want to get it done this year. They're going to have to play better hockey for a longer stretch of time. So the more time that they waste with periods like they had in the second and third yesterday, the more difficult it's going to be.
You mentioned the Olympic break. Are you guys more excited about the Olympics because NHL players are in it? I mean, that was some dreadful hockey the years they weren't allowing the NHL players.
I am looking forward to it, barring that they do actually end up getting to play. I don't know if you guys have seen any of this, but Milan apparently is way behind on a lot of the prep in the construction for the Winter Olympics, including the ice hockey arena. And the NHL, from what I've seen, has threatened that if things are not up to code, if they don't feel comfortable with the safety regulations, if they're not being met, they will pull the NHL players from the Olympics. So that hasn't gotten too far yet. We're still a little ways away from the Olympics. So, obviously Italy's going to do everything they can to have everything to expectation. But that could be something to keep an eye on here in the next few weeks. If everything does go according as planned, then yeah, absolutely. I mean, how could you not be after the Four Nations face-off and the renewal of the United States-Canada rivalry? Just how electric that was. I can only imagine that this is going to be elevated even a further level, because it's not only, four countries now. It's the Olympics. It is the biggest stage, really, as far as competition for international hockey goes.
What was the last year they used NHL players? Was it 2012?
I think it was 2014. Because when TJ Oshie had his heroics in the shootout against Russia. And that's where he earned his nickname, Captain America. So that was in Sochi in 2014.
Oh, I remember that. So my buddy and I, it was a morning game, and we went to a bar, and when one of the American goals, my buddy got so excited. There was how sometimes at restaurants they stack the plates right next to like the wall.
Okay.
He accidentally tripped over two piles full of plates.
My gosh.
And that game was at 7:30 in the morning. So I remember that game quite well.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't remember watching it live. Obviously, at the time I was 14, but I mean, I remember just the attention that it got, and obviously we had great pride here in St. Louis because of our beloved TJ Oshie, and obviously the big outing he had. It'll be interesting to see if Jordan Binnington gets any sort of action at the Olympics because of how bad he has been. But with Doug Armstrong, the Blues president of hockey operations, still being the general manager for Team Canada, he is still on that team, and obviously he had a heck of a run at the Four Nations Face-Off. So it'll be interesting to see what exactly his level of contribution will be for the upcoming Winter Olympics.
I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the hockey if they get to play, and it will be a smaller surface too, right? Aren't the dimensions all messed up on the sheet of ice?
I could not tell you that. That is where you lose me. I know that obviously NHL regulations a little bit different from the Olympic Committee, the international hockey's, but I'm not sure what exactly the differences are.
I'll have to tell you guys later on. My college team played on a rink that was in the middle of Olympic and NHL. It wasn't measured out correctly, and it just was always funny to get people's reactions when they learned it. When we come back, we'll have Sue's News. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. One of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. we host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Thank you so much for joining us on this New Year's Eve. And as we do it this time every day, it's time for Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, I'll tell you, okay, just bear with my voice, but here we go. Happy National Baking Soda Day. Thank you. Thank you. Technically, Fred, thank you for that. Technically, it's National Bicarbonate of Soda Day, but nobody knows what that means. But it's National Baking Soda Day. Why there is one, I have no idea.
Okay, and the difference between baking soda and baking powder?
Well, baking soda also cleans things. Baking powder, one makes things rise, and the other one does something else.
So
but
I don't know
which one is which. I think this is the one that makes things rise.
All right.
And you can clean with it. You know, they always say, well, put a little baking soda in there, and it'll make things whiter. You can open a box of it and put it in your refrigerator, and it'll absorb the smells.
That's what we've got.
It works great.
Oh, yeah. We do. I was trying to think of a time that I used baking soda for, but now that I think about it, I believe that there is some in the back of our fridge.
Oh, yeah. It's really good at it. I mean, now that Mark Reardon is a baker, he knows these things. He uses it in cookies. It's also National Falling Needles Family Fest Day, which is ridiculous.
Excuse me?
I know. It's just a reminder to clean up and recycle the live Christmas tree. Ours is dead, but I like it, and it still smells good. And no one is smoking, so I think we'll be all right.
And I got to tell you real quick. So what my wife's family does in Minnesota is they live close to a lake, so everyone in the neighborhood takes their Christmas trees down to the beach.
Oh, I love
and
this.
Then they
light them on fire,
and this thing will just go. I mean, these flames will rise 20 feet in the air. I mean, it is absolutely insane how massive this fire gets.
I love it.
Because they just catch immediately.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So it's been cool to be a part of a couple of those.
What do they call that? Do they call it anything or just take the old tree down and burn it by the lake?
Oh, geez. I'd have to check and see if there's a name. I'll do some investigative reporting, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Now, when I live by Carondelet Park, and there were, they've got bodies of water. I don't know. They're not really lakes, but they're bigger than a pond. People would do that, Ethan. They would pile up their trees next to it. But nobody ever set it on fire because I'm sure you'd be arrested. But I wondered what that was. But apparently they do that and then sink them so the fish have something interesting or can have places to live. And then I thought, did somebody make that up and I bought it?
They get bored with the setting down there. So they just need a shake-up of scenery
from time to time.
That's what it is.
All right, we have music for this. On this day in history, 57 years ago, in 1968, Frank Sinatra first recorded this song.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend.
Okay, you know what's interesting about My Way, of course, by Frank, is that the lyrics were written by Paul Anka, which I didn't know. Fred, does that surprise you?
No, I knew that. It's a great song.
Who did you say they were
Paul Anka?
I don't know who that is.
Paul Anka. Well, you look them up. They're all old. But I didn't know that.
Okay.
And it's based on a French song, which I also did not know. But that was recorded on this day in history 57 years ago.
Sorry. I was going to say, Sue, Frank Sinatra is the reason that your Spotify age is so old, correct?
Frank Sinatra, they re-released one of his albums, and I was listening to it. It's such a good one that I was listening to it so much that it made my Spotify age 82. Thank you. Thank you very much. And on this day in history, 44 years ago, in 1981, Stevie Wonder released this song. Woo!
That girl thinks that she's so fine, that seems to have my mind.
Fred, you remember this song? I don't think the other two would.
You know what? Not yet. I'm waiting for the...
Really?
I don't yet.
It's called That Girl.
How dare you assume that I don't know this song?
You don't know this song.
Yeah, right, come on. That's ageist.
Do you know this song?
Either no, I don't know
I'm
this
a huge 80s fan.
This one won Billboard Song of the Year. But it was 44 years ago in 1981 when Stevie Wonder released That Girl. By the way, I went down a Stevie Wonder rabbit hole today. He has 9 kids by 5 different women.
Whoa!
And I didn't know that. And he's currently married. He's had 3 wives. And he's still married to the 3rd one, I believe. But man, I didn't know half of this stuff. He was so talented. But yeah, 9 kids.
3rd time's the charm.
Yeah, I guess so. We talked yesterday about that ball drop on New Year's Eve and the red, white, and blue confetti in Times Square. It's scheduled for New Year's Eve. They're now saying an estimated 1 million people will show up. You have more about that, though, Fred.
Yeah, you know, and this confetti that's going to be falling isn't just regular confetti. They've been asking people on the streets of Times Square to write their wishes for the new year on small slips of paper.
Oh, no way.
And they've been putting them in this huge wishing well. And that's what they're going to raise to the top and distribute as the confetti on New Year's, you know, when the ball drops. So people down below will be grabbing other people's wishes.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
By the way, the ball itself weighs over 12,000 pounds. This is in part because it's got just a huge amount of crystals on it, like over 5,000. And the tradition of dropping the ball in Times Square began in 1907. Okay, now here's the reminder. They dropped the ball at midnight and again at 12:04 in celebration of America's 250th anniversary. And so that, of course, takes you down another rabbit hole. Okay, other U.S. cities do their own thing. There's a potato drop in Idaho, of course. Sorry, crowd. And a jumbo shrimp drop in Fernandina Beach, Florida, which I kind of love. They do that one at 7 o'clock at night because it's the Greenwich Mean Time official New Year, so you don't have to stay out too late.
And they have live music. A pierogi drop in Indiana.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing. We should start dropping something.
Toasted ravioli?
Oh, good.
Yes.
Let's drop it, baby.
You could do frozen Ted Drews. You could do anything.
That might hurt. That one might hurt.
You don't want to catch it. You just drop it. Just like the ball. All right. It sounds like the new Avatar movie, Fire and Ash and Marty Supreme. I want to say, has anybody seen either of those?
No.
Mm-hmm. I want to see that Marty Supreme, the table tennis
one. With Timothée Chalamet.
They said at one point it took 40 takes to get something. Well, of course, because he's playing table tennis. But they say that it helped things at the box office. Experts are saying it was the best Christmas at the movies since the pandemic. But since the pandemic, it's been terrible. I mean, movie ticket sales have been so far down since 2019, like over $2 billion
wow.
down. Joe, are you a big go-to-the-theater person?
So I used to be every Christmas I would go. It's when I saw The Wolf of Wall Street was on Christmas. Since the birth of my son, we haven't really been able to, but I still love going to a movie. But here in Buffalo, they just closed one of the biggest theaters right in the city. So, you know, seeing the effects.
Yeah, that's a shame. I don't know what we can do about it, but it's so easy to sit at home and stream. But there was streaming before 2019. I'm not sure I understand why it didn't come back.
You got to put a longer hold on the movie. Remember back in the day, you'd see a movie in the
yes.
theater, and it wouldn't be on VHS until a year. Like, you'd have the cheap movies that 8 months later would have it right before video. We got to get back to that where it's not in the theater for a week and then streaming, you know, the next
Two
week. It's
seconds
got, we got to put
later.
The hold back on it.
No, yeah. I agree with you. I think you're right. I'm not sure why they haven't done that yet.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, you know what's going to be in theaters tomorrow night, right, Sue?
Oh, is it more Stranger Things?
The finale. They're putting in some theaters around the country tomorrow night. So,
are you going to go to that? I mean,
I don't think so. There's not one really that's super close to me. I thought about it because I'm sure it's going to be pretty awesome.
It would be cool to see in a theater.
And the big screen, the surround sound. But I think I'm just going to, you know, stick with the comfort of my own home.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people are choosing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Fred found this story, and I think I'm one of these people. About 2 in 5 Americans have unused gift cards. Now, I am not one that has an average balance. They say the average balance of these things is $244.
Wait a minute.
Of what?
$244. I think I probably have $150 somewhere in this house.
Worth of just combined gift cards.
Combined gift cards. But that's only two, and I'm waiting for, like, one of them is to a nursery, you know, the flower kind, and I can't get anything right now. I'm waiting till I plant stuff. But if you've got $244 laying around the house, what?
Sue, you know, I originally was confused at what you were trying to say. Now I'm following. I bet we have probably $500 of combined gift cards in our house. Yeah.
Whoa.
Do you really?
We have
Is it just from getting married?
We have a whole book of them. Some of them are from the wedding still, but you know, we don't rush to use them. We kind of just more so look at different ones for restaurants and stuff for like, okay, when having a date night, like, we're just not in a rush to use them. So it's kind of nice though when we do choose to use them, like, not, you know, free meals and whatnot.
Yeah, that's awesome. But I didn't realize it was that much. Fred, are you a gift card person or no?
No, we have them. I think I have two $15 Wendy's coupons. Gift cards. That's what I've got.
Well, I wouldn't be in a rush for that one either. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Okay. Audi, Bentley, Bugatti, Lamborghini, and Porsche aren't competitors. They're actually all owned by the same company, which is the Volkswagen Group.
Huh.
So they are competitors within themselves, but you know they're all owned by Volkswagen. That's it for Sue's News.
Hey, welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk on this New Year's Eve. And we are joined by Alex Del Carmen. He's a criminologist with 28 years of experience, former instructor at the FBI National Academy in Quantico. Alex, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, we've had the shooting on Bondi Beach. We had a foiled New Year's bombing plan, I believe, in Paris, France. You know, tomorrow is a day where a lot of people will be out, Times Square. We remember what happened in New Orleans last year. Where is the risk for a terror attack within the United States on New Year's Eve this year?
Well, I think that we, you know, we obviously have models, we have intelligence, we have a lot of information that comes the way of law enforcement. And keep in mind that in the large areas where celebrations are going to take place, such as New York City, you know, the big cities, they've been planning this for months now. So this is not new. What is of interest to law enforcement is the fact that we know that there are, you know, bad people out there that want to create harm, that want to bring attention to themselves. And so by virtue of that, we have to plan for the unplannable. In other words, lone wolfers, people that are going to try to commit a crime, maybe in the surrounding areas, try to cause panic and create chaos.
When, you know, heading into a big holiday like this, I mean, is it chatter that is picked up? Is it recent events? What kind of factors into the risk? Or does every holiday come with potential risk, especially a holiday where so many people are out in the open?
Yeah, so the risk assessment that is done typically, you know, prior to these events, basically is all of the above, all the things that you mentioned, right? So part of it is going to be electronic data that, you know, law enforcement may be monitoring, you know, Facebook and Instagram and various other venues by which people express their sentiments, opinions, and sometimes their plans, you know, to attack innocent people. In addition to that, there's also on the ground intelligence, you know, people that sometimes pass information on to law enforcement. Third, there's also, you know, potential risks, right, with VIPs that are coming into various areas that may themselves be the target or the subject of attention, you know, by people that have been to some degree, they have been, so radicalized to the point that they feel that they're going to make a difference in the ideology that they pursue. So I think a lot of it has to do with a situational awareness by law enforcement. Every single holiday, as you noted in your question, does bring a threat. But I think that, you know, the New Year's is particularly a threat to many areas because of the fact that there are such large numbers of people. Sometimes we cannot expect or quantify what that's going to look like until the actual event takes place.
When discussing the United States of America, what are there particular groups that we are focusing on this risk? And what are the particular cities? I'm guessing Times Square is probably the number one risk, but as we learned, New Orleans last year, I've got to assume the major cities are all on that list of places to be extra on guard.
Yeah, so the challenge here is that large cities, we know, obviously, as you noted, are simply, you know, oftentimes the subject of attention, the subject of these attacks, but not exclusively, right? So sometimes we have smaller towns or smaller areas that are equally vulnerable, perhaps even more so because they have less protection, less assets, less resources to be able to go to and prepare for these kinds of events. And so the equation is, you know, large cities obviously have to take the precaution months in advance. A lot of intelligence, a lot of human work goes into the preparations and in some degree, hopefully the prevention of some of these violent acts. But smaller cities cannot, you know, put their guard down, right? They have to also be aware. They have to also feed on some of that intelligence. And so many of these factors that come into play sometimes are at the last minute. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow afternoon there is more intelligence coming into some of these local law enforcement entities, or they may actually have to, in many ways, modify their plan or increase the number of officers or, you know, put metal detectors in areas where they did not think that they were going to do that because of the intelligence coming into them at the last minute.
You know, last year in New Orleans, we had the truck that jumped the sidewalk and went down a closed street. How do you protect against something like that?
So it's very difficult to do that. But at the same time, we know there's some strategies that we have in place. Like, we criminologists talk and teach about what's called crime prevention through environmental design. The idea that you're going to use the environment in order to be able to prevent a criminal act. And how do you do that? You put barriers up. You obviously are able to, corner the area where individual pedestrians are passing by so that a vehicle would not have the opportunity, or if you want to call it the opening, in order to be able to kill innocent people. So there are ways of doing it. The problem is you have to think like the bad guy, right? And you have to think like the bad guy all the time. And bad guys are sometimes very creative, and they will use things that, for the most part, to most of us, it wouldn't ever be, you know, we wouldn't even contemplate using the tools or using a vehicle or using, in some other cases, a motorcycle or a bicycle or whatever it is that they're going to use in order to inflict pain and physical harm on other people. So we have to be right all the time. We have to think incredibly creatively, and we have to be able to think the unthinkable and be ready for those things that sometimes challenge us at the last minute.
Now, I know we're talking about New Year's Eve, but is there a risk that too much focus is on New Year's Eve? At the same time, obviously, it needs to be there, but that too much focus could be on New Year's Eve and something could happen on a day that no one thinks of. I mean, again, it's 24 years ago, 9/11. Could that be a missed sign after a holiday like this?
There's no question, but at the same time, I think most people understand the mathematical equation to crime prevention is the idea that when you put, you know, when you maximize the number of humans in a particular place and you put them all together, you combine things such as alcohol, in some cases, unfortunately, drugs that are being brought in, And you also have then people on opposite sides of an ideology or perhaps a team that they're rooting for, or perhaps if they want to make, they break up, 10 minutes before the change of the clock or something that grave that happens in their lives that brings trauma to themselves in a public place, people will react very differently based on that situation. And so some people, unfortunately, will take it upon themselves to create harm. So we know mathematically that anytime you have a lot of large numbers of people in a public place, it will bring, the likelihood of violence. Now, that's not to say that the other 364 days of the year are not concerning. Of course they are. And criminals and oftentimes terrorists will choose days that are kind of random to the rest of us, but they may be meaningful to them. But the bottom line to us is that in this particular time, at this point in history, we have to be ready and we have to create the conditions by which we prohibit a bad guy from doing the things that they may want to do tomorrow night.
And, in the next few days, next few weeks, we'll have packed stadiums throughout the country for college football playoffs, the NFL playoffs. But these stadiums are more protected now than they've ever been, correct?
Absolutely. And there have been protocols that have been developed that are in place now that actually seek, to protect and maximize protection. For instance, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, which is magnificent. But at the same time, it has a great there was a lot of thinking that went into it in terms of maximizing security and being able to prevent violent incidents. Do they happen? Absolutely. But the officers respond to it right away, and they even have a jail under the stadium that they actually put people in or hold them temporarily until they transport them to the city jail. So there are ways that we have been creative, right, in creating that environment intentionally in order to maximize protection and minimize harm. But I got to tell you, having been a criminologist for 29 years, there is not ever a 100% foolproof formula that will keep bad guys away. Unfortunately, that doesn't exist. But we have to try always harder every day and based on lessons that we learn from previous instances, how to provide that security and maximize security for innocent people while at the same time negating the circumstances by which bad people will create harm and cause harm on other people.
Hey, Alex, really appreciate it. Hope you have a very happy new year.
And you as well. Thank you.
That is Alex Del Carmen. He is a criminologist with 29 years of experience, former instructor at the FBI National Academy at Quantico, talking about the concerns for New Year's Eve and the protections. I said, packed stadiums. Let me tell you, I've been going to Bills games up here in Buffalo since the early 90s. I think I went to my first Bills game when I was five. And the amount of security you see outside that building before kickoff and after kickoff, and the armed guards surrounding and the tanks they have out front. It is those games are secure. That is a secure building. And if they're doing that in Buffalo, I know they're doing that at all stadiums throughout the country. Some people will go, oh my gosh, just reminds you of the times we're in. But you know what? It makes me feel safe. It makes me feel like this is secure. There are people here making sure that this is a secure event, and they're going and they're doing everything possible to make sure the people in that building are safe. And that's what you're going to see in Times Square. That's what you're going to see in New Orleans after what happened last year. Try to eliminate the risk as much as possible, as Alex said. There's the risk is going to be there, but you use all the information you have and all the experience you have to make these events safe. And we got to thank the men and women who put their lives on the line and work hours on hours to make sure that we are safe enjoying our lives. So shout out to them. When we come back, more of the show. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey, welcome back. Final segment of the second hour. It's Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. Happy to be with you. In the last segment, we were talking with Alex Del Carmen about security for New Year's Eve. And of course, I meant to use these cuts and didn't, so I'm going to use them now. Ethan, if we could play cuts 9 and cuts 10, talking about New York City for New Year's Eve tomorrow at the ball drop.
We do not have any specific or credible threats regarding the New Year's Eve festivities in Times Square. At this time, we are continually operating in a heightened threat, and please be conscious of your surroundings. While we acknowledge that the city will respect and protect people's right to protest, we will have a zero tolerance for interfering with the celebration.
And that is Eric Adams talking about the New Year's Eve preparations in New York City. And here's the next one.
We will have plainclothes, K-9 teams, officers on horsebacks, on our trains, subway stations, and in helicopters and on boats. Pedestrians and vehicle closures will be in effect leading up to and during the event. Security is everyone's responsibility. Again, see something, say something, do something.
And that is the plan in New York City. And you heard Alex Del Carmen talk about, you know, the preparations that go in this. And, you know, the day of, you could get new intelligence that, you know, you have to change the plan. You have to move people into different positions. But, I mean, to know not only are they working on that the days and weeks and months leading up, they are working on that the hours into the event until, you know, everyone is home safe. And, again, we learned in New Orleans, you know, last year that that truck that drove on the crowded street, I believe, killing 15. The risk is out there, but you do have the brave men and women of police force, of the FBI, of National Guard, you know, at these big events and keeping us safe as we enjoy our New Year's Eve. And if that means going out, that means going out. For a lot of us, that means staying in, as I said, watching college football, finding out if snow getting into the grill ruins the grill. This is, guys, my first show. When I get the pleasure of filling in, hopefully in 2026, I'll be giving you an update on that. Don't you worry. Now, later on in the next hour, we will be talking with two individuals. Our first guest is going to be talking about the year of Trump, and you know, this first year back. I mean, we talked about this yesterday, how quickly some things go and how others drag on. I mean, it does seem like yesterday I was on the air talking about the inauguration of Donald Trump round two. And if you remember, that was the indoor inauguration because of the weather conditions outside. And I mean, the guy got right to work and just how quickly. And it's so funny. Because during the Biden administration, whoever was the doing the job of the president for the 4 years, you still had the Trump bashing. I mean, for crying out loud, they tried to put the guy in jail. You had all that going on for 4 years. But my gosh, I forgot. And maybe I didn't forget. Maybe it's just worse now than it was the first 4 years. But just the every day. Every word the man says, it is this overreaction to everything Trump does, Trump says. You've got judges. We talked about this with Brad Young yesterday. You've got judges just getting in the way of every policy, again, that Trump won on. When it comes to immigration, when it comes to the things he's doing with immigration, that was one of the main reasons he was elected president. He was elected president because the last 4 years, you had the borders wide open. So Trump got in because of the promises of a better economy. And, you know, there are people who are disappointed with the first year. But as we talked on Friday with an economist who said, you know, look at the data, and it does look like things are going in the right direction. But immigration was another thing. And, I mean, he has pretty much made sure, and you know, I don't like to use the term close the border, because he hasn't closed the border. Legal immigration is still welcome. We want people to come here. As I said on Friday, we live in the greatest country to ever exist. We just need to know your intentions. We need to know that you're here. You want to talk about the risk on New Year's Eve, the terrorist risk in the nation. We don't know millions of people who are in this country. We don't know where they are. We don't know who they are. New York State wants to give them driver's license, but we don't know who they are. And, you know, we don't know what their intentions are. You have to have a process, and you have to follow that process. And that should be something that you can agree. I don't care if you're conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat, Green Party. I don't care where you stand on the political spectrum. We should all be able to come around and agree that, yeah, immigration's fine. Legal immigration. And there has to be a process that is followed. But you want to talk about risks and terrorist risks. I mean, just look at the millions of people that poured over the border that we don't know who or where they are. So we're going to look back on the first year of the second Trump administration. And you know, again, that was a big part of 2025. He took office halfway through January, and unlike his first term, I'd say he got right to work on inauguration day. I mean, he got right to work. He hit the ground running, and he's kind of approached it as if, hey, you know, if Republicans lose Congress in November, you know, he's one to get as many things done as possible. And like I said, you've had the activist judges kind of standing in his way, which I think is another theme of 2025. But we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Minnesota fraud. There is 1 hour left, the final broadcast hour of my year. Not the final broadcast hour here. Ryan Recker is in for Mark tomorrow. But we're back one more hour. Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.